Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is another beautiful Saturday morning with Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And on the platform is Council of Elders Program. And that is ran by Mr. Jensen Brooks. And today, and I'm going to tell you guys, today we're going to have a really good show. Okay, so just kick back. It's early in the morning. If you drink coffee, get you some coffee. You can even fix you some breakfast. And just get ready to enjoy this beautiful show. And I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Jensen. Mr. Jensen, go for it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. John Brown. Hello, everybody. My name is Jensen Brooks. And I want to welcome you and thank everybody for calling in to this week's Council of Elders program on Uplifting Communities. And I want to thank you, John Brown, for giving me this platform. And for any new listeners, I just want to give you the purpose of the Council of Elders. So the purpose is to serve the community. The purpose is for older people, elders, to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people. Advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, etc. And today, young people are especially invited to call in if you're out there and if you have something to say or you have a question, feel free to press 1 and, you know, ask a question. Let's see. Now, my dream is to have a Council of Elders group or organization in every community in America. And for this to be known throughout the community so that people could have an opportunity, should they want to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a single group. So now I'm starting a group of elders here in the Sacramento, California area. And I've asked Dr. Sunday Oluwale, and he has accepted to be the first charter member, if you will, in Sacramento. And I'd like to have about 10 volunteers. The reason I say 10, because we'll be going on events to juvenile halls, boys and girls clubs, youth centers, churches. And if we have, you know, 10 members, if one can't go or if they're busy that day, then there'll be a nice quorum to go out. And also, in addition to talking to young people, they can talk to young adults as well who are raising kids. Y'all know that sometimes when you're raising them teenagers, you do need some advice. So moving forward, this is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders and to utilize some of the information that we take for granted that might be very helpful to someone else. So with that, the topic today is going to be the topic called Mother Wit. Now, Mother Wit is the information that our mothers taught us when we were coming up. They taught us stuff about, you know, how to dress, how to stay out of trouble. They taught us about dating. There's many things that our mothers taught us in order for us to thrive and be successful in life. And so there may be people out there that haven't heard this kind of information. And so I'd like to discuss that on today's show.
That's great. You know, I don't mean to jump in, but before we get into that, Mr. Johnson, I would like the panel. We have Mr. Walt. He's from, you know, and also we have Joseph Manuel. And I would like to, for them to come on and tell the audience a little bit about themselves, too, because they're part of the panel. Okay? So let's start off with Mr. Walt. Mr. Walt, could you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? Okay, and where you from? And then follow it up, Joseph, man. You tell a little bit. Just take maybe a minute or two, and then we'll go back to you, Mr. Jensen, and then we can start the program.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Walter Williams, Jr. I'm originally from Aliceville, Alabama, now residing in Alabaster, Alabama, and I'm a retiree. My career was in law enforcement for 38 years, and part of that law enforcement career began with the military. Then it went into municipal policing, and it ended up into campus policing. So I have a pretty varied array of knowledge in working with grown-ups as well as youth in the criminal justice system and trying to keep people out of the criminal justice system. So thank you.
All right. Joseph Manuel.
Yes, hello, everybody. My name is Joseph Manuel from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I retired. I've had a host of jobs. The last two jobs I worked in was a juvenile detention organization and a substance abuse field. And that's kind of my specialty, substance abuse and trying to help a substance person like myself on time. And I think this is a great show. Mr. Brooks is trying to get started, man, and much needed at this day and time. I just hope I can add something to it or learn something to it, from it, too, at the same time. Appreciate you guys for allowing me to be a part of it. Thank you.
Yes, I was wondering.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I was just wondering if Mr. Joe Debs was listening for him to press 1.
Okay, I got several people with press 1s. What is this number? Don't give it out. We be able to let him in once we get in, you know, start talking. Well, then, you know, when the program, I'll let him in. But I got several people, and I don't have his number.
It's a 911.
Oh, man, there's a lot of people done press 1. A whole bunch. Okay, so, well, anyway, let me tell the audience who I am, and then we're going to get started, okay? My name is John L. Brown. I'm the founder of Uplifting Communities Talk Show, all right? And I'll be one of the panelists. And I am so happy that Mr. Brooks chose Uplifting Communities Talk Show to put this program on, this very important program on. Thank you so much. And, I mean, hey, we're going to have a good time today, y'all. Let's not just look at it as a talk show. We here to talk. We're going to have a good time. And I need some more coffee, and I don't have a secretary. Anybody out there can bring me some coffee? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you need some too? Okay, but anyway, we're going to get back to the show. Mr. Jensen, go for it.
Yes. Today's topic, as I said before, is called Mother Wit. You know, our mothers taught us a lot. Our fathers taught us a lot, too, but our mothers wanted to protect us. They wanted us to be safe. They wanted us to thrive. And I'll just start this conversation off about some of the things that my mother taught me when I was coming up. One thing she always told me, she said, do your best. Whatever you do, do your best. Do your best. Now, that's some good advice for anybody, whatever job you're on or whatever schoolwork you're doing, you know, just do your best. It sounds simple, but that's the kind of things that our moms taught us. They taught us sometimes in very simple little slogans or just simple little lessons. Another thing that my mother taught me, I would say she maybe psyched me out or whatever. We were sitting at the dining room table one day, and she said, you know, my name is Jansen, but my family, they call me Jan. My mother said, you know, Jan, you impress people. She said, you impress people. And, you know, she planted that seed in my head. And, you know, even today, I'm 66 years old. And when I'm going around, you know, I think I'm impressing people. When I go out, I try to put, even when I'm going to the grocery store, I try to put on some decent, because you never know who you're going to run into. And so to be totally transparent, my mom, you know, she tried to tell me, don't smoke weed, don't be drinking, you know. I didn't always follow her advice, but I can't say that she didn't tell me. those are the kind of things that our moms teach us, and I'm sure that other members of the listening audience and other members of the panel can share some wisdom that their moms taught them. And then sometimes dad too, if you know, if that really on the top of your head, they try to prepare us for life so that, you know, we can be successful, and most of them, they try to have us to do better than they did, not make the same mistakes they made. So with that, I'm going to let somebody else talk.
Okay, Mr. William.
Yes, a little mother's wit I have from various sources. My parents divorced when I was like six, so I was raised by my grandmother. So my grandmother told me one thing. She said, you know, boy, my nickname was Junebug. She said, June, every tub got to sit on his own bottom. I didn't realize what she meant then, but what she was saying was that every individual has to be responsible. You got to be able to make it on your own. And to follow that up, she told me, she said, I'm going to teach you some necessities in life, she said, because you just might not find somebody doing them for you. So my grandmama taught me how to wash, cook, iron, and soap. And this was her very word. She said, boy, I'm going to teach you how to wash, iron, cook, and soap, because, you know, you kind of crazy and might not be nobody that's going to put up with you.
Well, that's cool. I like that.
And as a result, you know, that came in very handy through college, because there was nobody there to wash, cook, and iron and so forth. And even to this very day, I'm a divorcee now, but I know how to do all of those things, wash, cook, iron, and mend. I can't sew, but I can mend. And that's very good wisdom that I, to this day, it stands out. And I'm so thankful that she taught me this.
Wow. Love it, man. Just love it. What about you, Joseph?
Okay, again, I'm Joseph Manuel. Boy, my mom, that lady was something else. She saved my life. It's probably the only reason why I'm here today. I don't know. I grew up as a young child. You know, it was a big house of 10. Remember, she would take us downtown once a month, maybe. Each one kid took a turn a month. And, I remember one time I went with her, man. I don't know. I was 8, 9 years old. And couldn't sit down in this restaurant and eat. So, you know, I'm old. And I'm like, Mama, why we can't sit down? You got money? She said, no, baby, we got to go around the back. Man, and I got hot-headed. You know, like, no, that ain't right. You know, Mama, no. I said, no, baby, put it in God's hand. I said, we got it in his doggone hand. He ain't doing nothing with it. But she was the one that always told me to put things in God's hand. I had the hardest time during that era I grew up, because I couldn't understand why we would be so different. And it wasn't until after she had passed that statement, I was about 30 years old, and that came to me, what she told me one day, is to put it in God's hand. And I'm just grateful, man, that she did that. And And the old man had his wisdom, too. He always did tell me as a young man, you know, if you want something in this world, get off your behind and go to work for it. Work for it, you know. That stuck. You know? But, you know, I appreciate that today, man, because I know, you know, that mother's wit, especially putting God's hand, got me alive today, even though it's a struggle today because they got some stuff making me mad right now going on as well. But
yeah.
Thank you all for letting me. I got to put that in God's hand too sometimes. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. You know, we going this morning we got quite a few people. This must be a pretty good subject, but we got quite a few people ready to be let in, and either they want to elaborate on something or on the topics or give a suggestion or something, okay? I don't know, but
sure.
I'm going to start letting people in, if you guys don't
great.
Mind.
Great.
Go right ahead, John.
Okay.
Let me
all
just
right.
say, anybody in the listening audience, there's some good wisdom. Take note.
Okay, here we go, y'all. All right, here we go.
Hey, this is Malcolm Hughes.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Malcolm Hughes calling from Fayetteville, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
And, I want to echo the young man who just said, put it in the hands of the Lord. That was a saying that I know my mama used to say. I never quite understood it. And I used to think when I got a little older, if I put it in the hands of the Lord, I used to tell people, hey, the Lord told me to handle this particular situation, so I got this particular guy myself. I'm going to take care of him. So one of the things that I learned as I got older, life is a heck of a lot easier for me now that I've learned to put it in the hands of the Lord. And when I
Amen.
Put things in the hands of the Lord, I don't even have to worry about it anymore. So it's a whole lot less stressful letting him handle my situation than for me to handle it myself.
Amen. Yes, Amen. Yes, sir. Okay, that's very good. We're going to come back to that one. I'm going to let somebody else on, okay?
Okay.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Dr. Sunday Oyewole from Sacramento, California.
Okay.
And I'm glad to join the program again today. Thanks, Brother Brooks, for letting me back on today. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about my life just to reinforce the concept of the mother wit. So this is going to be a little story. I was born in the village in Nigeria. My mother did not get any prenatal education or counseling before I was born because there was no maternity clinic, no nurse, or no midwife in the community. My mother had no formal education. The mother in the community was chosen by the villager to attend to my birth and to every birth in the village. The birth attendants supported my mother and I before, during, after I was born. Unfortunately, my mother died before I was a year old. During the grief, while my dad was grieving, my father handed me over to my aunt to take care of me till I was about 3 years old. Reluctantly, my aunt accepted the challenge. However, she asked my dad the following questions. How did you expect me to raise him? I cannot breastfeed him. And then she also said, I have not raised a child for over a decade. So I don't know how you expect me to do this. And I remember now they were grieving. So after I was 3 years old, I went back to my father in the village. And I spent the first 4 years of my elementary school education in the village environment. At 10 years old, my father uprooted me, essentially took me from the village and handed me over to a school teacher. to raise me until I completed elementary school. While I was in high school, I ended up in the wrong group. I started having problems. I was out of control to the extent that I ended up in what you can call a tailspin. The school teacher in high school, or the school treasurer in high school, snitched on me and told my dad everything that was going on in school, how I was getting into so much trouble. Because of my trouble in school, I repeated the fourth year of my high school education. So my father, because he was so concerned about me and my mother was dead, my father asked my uncle to help me. My uncles reprimanded me severely. And I don't want to go into the detail of what they did, but they did reprimanded me. My father died when I was 19. But he gave me everything I needed to be successful today. After my father died, I was raised by my stepmother, my sisters, and I went back to the village concept of raising a child. So I was essentially raised by my stepmother and my sisters and the community. My eldest sister and my youngest sister played very prominent role in my growth and development before I finished high school. For instance, my eldest sister told me, you must get good education. That was number one. She said, don't take food from strangers. And she also told me while I was in high school, before I finished, stop by my house to eat dinner on your way home from school. And then she said, let me know what is going on in your life. I want to know what's going on in your life every day. So essentially, my youngest sister also stepped in. My youngest sister borrowed money that I needed to finish high school. However, she warned me seriously to finish high school so we can pay the money back. Today, I can tell you proudly that I'm proud to declare that I was raised by my elders. And this is why this tied into the concept of what mothers do, because my mother was not there, so I was raised by my elder sisters and my stepmother. My life story is essentially a testimony to the role of elders and the village, the concept of the village in the life of youth and young adults, and I'm a testimony to that. I can relate essentially to what
What is your name? I'm sorry. What's your name again, sir?
Sunday Oyewole. I'm sorry.
Okay, Mr. We got a lot of people trying to get on the board. Okay, and we're going, if we have time for permit us, okay, this is a very, very important testimony or your autobiography, what you're trying to do, but we pushing for time. I don't mean no harm,
okay.
You know,
sure.
But we pushing for time, so we got to keep going. Okay, so
sure.
If you can close what you're saying and we can come back to you, then you can continue.
Yeah.
But we got to keep going, sir.
Sure. I'm going to close, and I can tell you that I can relate to what our youth and young adults are going through today. They are begging for help, and I just want to be sure that we are listening and paying attention. The Council of Elders like this can help our youth and young adults. I implore us to accept the challenge and sacrifice to help our youth in today's environment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you
very much.
John, let me just say that Dr. Sunday has accepted the challenge of being the first Council of Elders member in Sacramento. So so much, Dr. Dr. Sunday.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, Dr. Sunday. Okay, well, we're going to move on and let other people in on the show, okay? All right, here we go. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller,
hello?
State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Joe, and
okay.
I'm in Elk Grove, California.
How you doing, Joe?
California. I'm fine.
Joe Dez, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you. I'm loving your format. I just wanted to say, as an older person, I listen in your subject matter, mother wit, and you know, back in the days, we used to call it, because mother wit is associated usually with women, because the old folks had it, it's kind of like wisdom without eyes, okay? And they used to call it an umption as well, right? And an umption is kind of like grandma always say, don't turn left at this corner. Without knowing, turning left, the police had the streets blocked. We don't know how they knew, okay? But they always had this umption, what to do and what not to do. And we used to call it wisdom without eyes because, you know, they would say things like, when the girls go out, take a dime with you. Just in case you go out with this boy and he get crazy,
right,
you can always call home, all right? Or have clean underwear. When you go out somewhere, always take a bath
right,
and have clean underwear.
Right, great. Now, you tell
y'all remember all of that?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they used to do all of that. But now we've kind of gotten away from that because back in the 60s, there was something called a generation gap. And the thinking process in terms of agreeing on things between youngsters and some of the older people just didn't mesh. And I think that generation gap has come back around. And so I'm glad you have this elders, this concept, because I think we have to start drawing closer to each other, our youngsters and our oldsters, because we have forgotten a lot of the things that we were taught and we have not been able to pass it on. So I think we've lost a lot of the mother wit concept and some of the other cultural communication tools. So I'm just saying thank you so much. I like the concept of your program. So y'all keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Wow.
All right.
So nice, man. Somebody in the back cooking or throwing pots at somebody. okay, we're going to let another caller in. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Sacramento, California.
All right.
Oscar Bissett. Oscar Bissett. I Joe stole some of my thunder. Because I was going to tell you that Mom told me always wear clean underwear. You might have an accident. I didn't know what that meant then, but I understand it now. As you get older, Mom always gives you a few good ideas that you really need to hear. And as life throws you lemons, I keep making lemonade because I keep remembering those things in the back of my head. I can still hear my mother's voice when I'm about to make a mistake. So stay aware of your surroundings. Always listen to the elders because they've been where you're trying to get to. I'm finished.
All right. And that is so true. Okay, we got another caller. All right, so here we go, y'all.
Hey, John.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Tommy Cole.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Okay.
Tommy Cole, Lake Charles.
All right. Hey, Tommy, what's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing, man?
Very wonderful.
All right, Tommy.
Good. Hey, man, you all talking about that mother's whip, man. But, hey, man, I'm talking about awesome. I was coming up, man, and I remember my mother, she taught me how to cook rice. Now, all my friends out there playing, I'm trying to figure out why my mom teaching me how to cook rice. Couldn't understand it. Well, after I got married, my wife had she had surgery on both her hands. She couldn't cook, man. Now, God had blessed me to be able to cook through my mom. You follow me? When my wife was down sick, we had two children at the time. They had to eat, so I was able to cook. Now, my mother didn't just teach me how to cook rice, but that's the first thing she taught me how.
I wind up baking shrimp, cooking shrimp etouffee, and all those things for us to get by. You follow me? So, and but you never know these things until you have to put them to work. If you don't know anything about them, you're going to be in trouble. So I thank God for my mom, who's passed on now. And I thank you all for the show, because you all give us a chance to bring back those things that was taught to us that we can teach those that's coming up now. Thank you. I'm done.
Exactly. Okay.
All right.
Amen.
Wow. I mean, what? I mean, that's powerful. Okay, we're going to let another caller on.
Yes. Greetings, everyone.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Brother Kwame. I'm calling. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now.
Okay, this is Brother Kwame. I'm calling you from Georgia.
Okay.
Hello.
I chimed in, you know, last week, and you were curious to overstand about, you know, and it's really divine order that every man has talked about the different parts of what they've learned as far as community and overstanding from Mother Wit to the Father, from Dr. Sun, and the Village. And that's the whole concept of what Kwanzaa was derived to do. And I think, you know, you asked about me giving you information because Dr. Alana Karinga started it in 1966 out there in California. And what it was dealing with is our culture history going back as far as Kemet. And in that, in the word Kwanzaa with the one A is to say it's the first. And there were five values that he used in the concept of forming this, is that the ingathering of the people, the reverence of the creator and creation, the commemoration of the past, the recommitment to culture ideals. This is what we're talking about. These old things and old sayings are plentiful right now at this day, being able to pass them on to the next generation, and celebration of the good. And with that, he looked at going back into Kemet, that there were seven ethics that were done called Mayat. And that is truth, justice, propriety, harmony, balance, reciprocity, and order. Then he went as far as going back and looking at being able to take seven principles. He had seven values, seven ethics.
Brother Kwame, hold on just a second. I'd like to give you the opportunity in the second half of the show to take about maybe five minutes to talk about Kwanzaa, because I did ask you last week. But if possible, we could continue on the Mother Wit right now with some call-ins. But at about, let's see, it's 10:33 right now Pacific. About, I guess, about
we have 25 minutes left on the show, so yeah, we can let Dr. Kwame have him come on maybe in about 10 more minutes. But we need to, yeah, you're right. We need to get back on track.
Right, we're going to give you some time to talk about this, brother, because it's very important, though.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I wanted to go back to actual... William, okay? I wanted to go back to you. You was mentioning something about you was in law enforcement for 30 some years and you retired with law enforcement and stuff. Now, and I know you done had a lot of contacts with younger people. Do you see any way towards, and also Joseph, because you worked with, in a juvenile detention hall, the younger people, do you see them following, you know, getting these this valuable information that what we talking about?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, God continues to show me that I have done what he's asked me to do when he placed me into those positions, because having been the chief of police at a community college for 22 years. I ran across a lot of kids, and I had an opportunity to try to, when I see them going wrong, to try to bring them in, show them the error of their ways, and give them some of those nuggets that were passed on to me. And every so often, I either run into a person out there or somebody would call me because I'm crazy enough to just give my – I've always given my phone number out to kids so that they – if they wanted to talk to me, they could talk to me about anything. I gave them that authority. You could call me at any time. I would listen because you find out that a lot of times for the younger people, they just want somebody that will take the time to listen to them. They have something to say. We cannot dismiss everything a young person says because it's important to them. So that's one of those things that God put on my heart. So even this morning, I had a young lady to call. I have talked to her through another partner this morning who called me, and she works at a little Hardee's restaurant. And she just called again to say hello and how she missed me, and because I had some – every time she would see me, she would remember some things that I had told her and that helped her out in life. So, yes, what goes mm-hmm. around comes around.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Well, what about you, Joseph?
Well, you know, you being a juvenile detention area and the substance abuse, you give it a lot of time. I can speak to clients one-on-one. And, you know, it's a lot of them that got some mothers with
marvelous
information also, you know. But in this society we live in, and there's so much negativity
you gotta go
pushed away. Upon them, you know, pushed upon them. And they make some wrong choices, you know. I heard somebody say, you know, there's no bad people in the world. They decide to make maybe some bad actions. And, you know, I think a lot of them do have it, but right now, man, we got some heavy demons against us, especially our young, and it's hard to listen to the elders and the mother's wit when you're facing with that, you know. So they need all the support they can.
You're right. You know, I had a little experience. When I was growing up, well, Joe know my growing up history, and 'cause my mother, just like a couple of people on the show, they were saying their mother died at a really young age, and that's the same thing with mine. My mother died when I was 6 months old, and my grandmother, she was mainly the caretaker. But I lived with other people as well, like aunts and uncles and things of that nature. But I left home. When I left home, my grandmother, you know, she threw a nugget at me, you know, and I didn't really understand where she was coming from until I got on my own. When I left home, she told me, she said, take care of yourself. And I learned real fast to where as though she wasn't talking about, you know, changing underclothes and things. Well, she was talking about that too, but she was mainly talking about be careful who you deal with. Don't run across. Don't get yourself in a situation to go to jail, because you ain't got nobody to get you out. I come from a poor family, and I think that a lot of poor people that went to prison, they come from poor people, from poor families. Nobody there with money to help them get out or investigate. That's why we have so many people in a penitentiary or going to jail and things of like that, landing in a pen because of their, you know, economic status. They don't have money, okay, to actually fight. You know, do you guys know of anybody that went to jail, you understand? They got all the good upbringing, but they went to jail, you know, because of economic status.
I know some people had all the good upbringing and got in trouble, but I don't know, you know, what their economic status was. I think they did the crime, so they had to do the time.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about that. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. You know, they did the crime. I'm talking about people that actually, you know, let's say if me and you were somewhere, we did, you know, and you, I'm gonna use, so somebody else was with it too, and they broke the window at the grocery store. So, you know, everybody gonna spend 3 months in jail. You know, but you didn't do it. But the one who did it, they got off. And the reason why they got off is because they had money to fight it. So me and you end up doing the 3 months in jail. And there's a lot of cases like that happens. That's why the Council of Elders program is so important. We got to let these young people know when you sense that there's going to be any type of trouble, you got to go ahead on and move out the way. You know, You know, because, you know, like the system don't even, the system is not here to you know, to say, well, you know, he got some good, you know, upbringing and his family was there. Now, if you have an attorney and if you got money, it might help. You know, so this is what I'm saying. My grandmother said, take care of yourself. So I think what she was talking about, you know, I picked up to where as though she was talking about, if you with a bad crowd, you better be careful. You see something going on, you better get out of there. You know,
and that
kept me from out the penitentiary. I've been to jail. I'm quite sure all of us have been to jail, as you know, because we older than them. But it wasn't no thing to where as though we was going to go to the prison.
Right.
And I want to let everybody know you're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And we have the Council of Elders program ran by Mr. Jensen Brooks. And if you guys still have a question or whatever, you know, you guys can go ahead on and I'm looking at the board. So what you do, you go ahead on and press 1 again, and I'll let you guys back in if y'all want to say something else. Okay, but right now we got 17 minutes left on the show. So you want to give Mr. Oni about 5 minutes to finish, tell us about Kwanzaa?
Yes, sir. Mr. Kwame, you listening?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. All right. Go ahead on back in, Mr. Kwani, and start talking about
Kwanzaa. Maybe 5 minutes or so.
Yeah. Mr. Kwani is on the floor. Go, Mr. Kwani.
Okay, and the last part is the seven principles, and those are called the Nguza Saba. And that's Umoja means unity, Kujichakalia, self-determination, Unjima, collective work and responsibility, Ujima, cooperative economics, Nia, we happen to have purpose, Kaumba means creativity, and Imani is faith. And all of these principles that he chose to use from the Kawahita is ancient African principles in which we lived by. And what we did in that, the celebration of our harvest of the first fruits, that the harvest of what we did for that year, he chose those last 7 days and not making it a religious holiday, but making it a culture holiday, in which that's why the extra A was on there for on Kwanzaa is the African American, the American here being able to have a cultural holiday that is ancestral. And what was very important too with that was that we speak about the Council of Elders, and that was a very important part because they looked at elders are as one of the most important expressions of family unity is the respect and the collective concern and care for our elders. We didn't have anything called a nursing home or senior care. We took care of our elders, and this was because the African knew to respect for the elders. That makes it an activity for the community to be at its highest, because, like I think I heard someone say, it's because you're getting on the go and they can help you map your steps. And so, and the part of being mother wit, because they use the thing of Mayat, who created the 42 laws that was created by a woman, and she created also those principles of Mayat that are tied truth, justice, righteousness, reciprocity. And so what we're seeing is that we have a culture that is most conducive to what we as elders are speaking about at this moment that has been reawakened from our Akashic record, and that's in our DNA, that has been passed down. But now it's somehow a time, and every time for us, time is a word that T-I means tie and M-E is me. But if you spell it backwards, it means emit. And it's a time that we need to emit this part of our culture to the next generation, because the indigenous teachings here on Turtle Island, indigenous says, is that you, whatever you do or say is for the next seven generations. Seven generations, because that's very important that we look at what my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather did, made it possible for me to be right here, for us to be right here, right now, saying and doing what we're doing right now, and reawakening the guidance of counseling. You know, it's not saying make them do, because they have an information and they come with a purpose. We can never dream their dreams or think their thoughts. It is up to us to give them the tools to bring out, induce parade, not educate, put in. No, induce parade means to bring out what we came on the planet to do. Each one of us came on the planet from the womb of a woman, and we all have a belly button because we all come from a woman. So the thing that we got to understand, that mother with that you're talking about, is that she put in you everything that you need to know, because it comes through the mitochondria DNA. And this awakening of your DNA has allowed us to have this conversation from California to Georgia to Louisiana. We're all connected on the Mother Earth, and the energy in which is flowing through the earth is flowing up and into us, and we're making the techno-spiritual admitting that we need to begin to do this as men. Because a man stands for M-A-N, my acronym for it is to make another nation. How do we make another nation? We got to understand how we construct our family back.
All right, brother.
Awesome.
Thank
you so much.
I mean, that's just...
I was wondering if we had any women in the audience today. I guess there's no way to tell from a phone number. But
no,
it would be
no
nice to hear from some sisters.
Yeah, if there's any ladies up in the audience right now, I got quite a few phone numbers left that they haven't pressed one. If there's any ladies out there, press one. Let's hear from you. Let's see how you feel about this. You know, let's get some good information. All right, well, they got one person press one. Let's let them in.
All right.
Call us. State your name and where you're calling from. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Well, caller, state your name and where you're calling from. They must be on mute. Okay.
Yeah, they're probably on mute.
Okay, let's try it again. I'm putting them on live.
Why not state their area code and they'll know it's them that you're talking about?
Okay, caller from area code 205. State your name and where you're calling from.
That's Alabama, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, is it? Okay, well. Okay, any other ladies out there want to say something, want to join the show? Okay, we got 10 minutes left on the show, so you guys, y'all got to hurry up. Okay? Well, anyway, today we had a really nice show, man. I'm talking about I've learned a lot. You know, and that is so blessed, a blessing you know, to where as though God can get all of us, you know, together. You know what I'm saying? And and you know, and just talk. Just talk. Talk about some of the great things that our parents left us, you know, with, you know, Dr. Arne, he was talking about how God left us with Jews about, you know, I mean, you know, with knowledge, man, with our parents, you know, left us with knowledge. I'm not talking about just our parents. When I'm talking about our parents, I'm talking about from way back, from slavery, before slavery, you know, and all of that is coming alive, man. That's coming alive again.
Oh, yeah. Does, am I still alive?
Yeah, you still here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know I was. I was going to say one of the things that I remember as you speak of mother wit, is my mother used to always, every time I would catch a cold, and this COVID stuff, I feel sorry for the people who passed on from this, but this COVID stuff, their mothers we had shown them how to use some Tala and some Vicks ass to put on your chest at night, and you sweat that thing out, you feel a whole lot better in the morning. But I remember a lot of my mother's old remedies to this day. And those things have helped me to be where I am now. So it works, because mothers have an innate ability to pass it on to the children.
Yes.
And I remember taking quite a number of those things, and I didn't know what they were at the time, but I just did what I was told.
And you know, another thing, too, prayer. Man, we had some praying. Yes, we had some praying mothers when we were coming.
Amen.
You know, I mean, they prayed for you, and a lot of their prayers was answered.
That's why we live today. A lot of us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let me say this. To folks that's listening. Coming up in West Central Alabama in the 50s and 60s, our parents would tell us, they say, well, you got to be twice as good as the Caucasian boy for the same job. Don't think you're going to go in there just as good as he is and get the job. You got to be twice as good. So that's something that stuck with me, too, that, you know, this. Try harder, you know. Try to be really good at something, in order to be looked at as equal.
That situation has definitely existed then, and in some cases it still exists, because, you know, inequity as far as education is concerned, and a lot of our communities will. Well, people of color, we have to more or less have a degree to get a high school level job. So that lets us know that, you know, it's still in that same place where some things change, most things remain the same.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My mother told us the same thing, that you have to be twice as good to get half the credit.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, we got another caller want to come in. Let's let this caller in.
Wally, am I on?
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Sunday, Wally again from California.
Uh-huh. Okay, Dr. Sunday.
I just want to say something about what you said a little while ago about any experience in the prison system. I had the pleasure of working in the prison for about 2 years, and I just want to say something about what I experienced with some young adults and youth that were in the system at the time that came from no father and no mother in the picture. Especially, that's when I realized that from the youth, the individuals that I came in contact with, if the mother was there, their life will probably be different. If his father was there, their life would be different. And it's very sad when I interacted with the youth in the system, it just brought back my memory of what my father did and what my mother did. And so the role of mother, especially in their situation, was missing. And so that's why mother's weight is an essential concept of what mothers can do when children are growing up into an adult. I just want to say that, just set aside.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's very important for us, you know, to, you know, those, the children today that don't have mothers, okay, it's so important. And not only mothers not having mothers, they might, you know, might not have a father also. And it's so important for us as men's, we have to, and the women's also, we have to take that role.
We have to take that role.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's very essential. It's something that maybe as elders we can fill in that vacuum or that void to get into the life of young adults that are really looking for directions and guidance.
That's right.
Amen.
Very
Amen.
Important, you know. Okay, well, everybody, we got 3 minutes left on the show. And I'm going to ask Mr. William and Joseph to take maybe 30 seconds and just, you know, give the audience some type of encouragement. And also I'm going to ask Mr. Brooks to close us out with a prayer.
Okay.
And parting for today, I think I can do a pretty good quick summation that each one has to teach one. Each individual parent have a responsibility to instill in your children some good things. And the best way is to follow the roadmap, the Bible. The Bible teaches us the Word of God, and it's our roadmap to navigate life here on this celestial plane. Do not minimize the Word of God, because it is true. Whether you believe it or not, it's still true. So let us remember that. Thank you.
All right. All right. Joseph, word of encouragement.
Okay. Well, thank everybody again. And I would just like to leave this with the listening audience and everybody, is that I think now is a good time where we have to humble ourselves and make a serious decision whether we choose to be a male or a female or a woman, and do what's need to be done for our generation we're going to leave behind in this world. We want them to do better than us and strive to make it. But we have to choose
right.
on what we want to be. To be of help. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Mr. Jensen Brooks, could you give us a 30 seconds of encouragement and close us out with a prayer?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mr. John Brown, I sure could. And, you know, this thing about the Council of Elders concept, it's good that we all, you know, are hearing about it, but I'm hoping that somebody listening in the audience might take up the banner in their own city and maybe form a council of elders for the people in their city. I know I'm trying to do it here in Sacramento, and Dr. Sunday has been the first one to accept. And
okay, we got 30 seconds.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, thank everybody for calling in today. And I just close us out with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity through your technology. Lord, we thank you for the people that called in today. Lord, we ask you to bless and keep everybody safe, Lord. We know this is a tough time, Lord, but we know with you all things are possible and that you will help us get through it. Lord, we just ask that you continue to bless this vision of the Council of Elders. Lord, we just want to be of service. We want to be able to
help our communities and uplift our communities. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Now, give Mr. Brown your email so I can email you.
With that said, I have to say good night. We have to close.
Okay. All right.
Good night, y'all.
All right.